You open your Bibles now, please, at the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 7. And reading verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. I wish to draw your attention to those words, thou and all thy house. There are two houses, brethren and sisters, which are very prominently brought before us in the Holy Scriptures. One is the house of God, and the other is the house of the child of God. Now, during these meetings, beginning yesterday afternoon, there has been a good deal of ministry concerning the house of God. We get very little ministry today concerning the house of the child of God. Now, I believe house or household is the oldest institution in the world. It has been called the cradle of the nation. I say it is the cradle of the assembly. We have been hearing of burden. God is my witness, brethren and sisters, I speak the truth and lie not. I had no intention of getting up on this platform this afternoon. Now do not ask me, how is it you got it so soon, my son? I question if there's a servant of the Lord here. If there is, I hope you'll come and tell me afterwards. That hasn't been the same subject more than once. And maybe, if you meet me again and hear me somewhere, you're liable to hear it again, for I do not carry a little black book to put me into bondage concerning what I teach and where I teach. It's a great burden, brethren and sisters, today on the hearts of parents concerning the salvation of their children. My heart was touched, and we heard this afternoon that great, great, great Grandma Johnson prayed for a family that might yet be born. And I want to address particularly you who are young parents with a growing family. Pray for your children before they come into the world, before you even know whether God is going to give you a boy or a girl or two at a time, pray to God for them. Turn please to the book of Judges, chapter 13. I'll not likely say anything that will amuse you. My subject is a solemn one, and it is one that I feel the burden of. Why is it, brethren and sisters, I ask you this? Why are we losing our sons and daughters? Why are so many of them growing up in the Sunday school and in the gospel meeting? And when they get old enough, they're gone. Our prayers go out after them. Why are so few of our sons and daughters being saved? Judges chapter 13, verse 12. And the Noah said, How let my words come to pass? How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? I wish to speak briefly concerning the Christian's house, and then the parents' responsibility. And also the children's responsibility. Our house, brothers and sisters, ought to be a place where parents pray for their children and ought to pray for them before they're born. If I do not turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, I will tell you what you'll find there. That Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice taught him the word of God in the home. The church, the home of the child of God ought to be a sphere of discipline. It ought to be sphere of godly order, and it ought to be a sphere of salvation. Someone said recently, I believe it was Brother Mr. Howard the other night, when we were meeting together in Toronto, he said he would not be surprised if more children of the Lord's people are saved at home than anywhere else. Maybe the results of special meetings while we're going on. Turn please to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I will keep my eye on the clock and I will not go 1 minute beyond the time. I can stop in the middle of a sentence if it's necessary. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and reading verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. I am reading for verse 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. I appeal to you, young parents, this afternoon. I ask you from the bottom of my heart, do you read the word of God with your boys and girls? Now there is something I do not understand. We have been hearing little things that we do not understand. I cannot understand why it is that in homes where the Word of God has been diligently read, dealing with the children, and where the parents are spiritual in every way, and the families are not saved. Whereas in the family of a carnal father and mother, God in His overruling grace comes in and saves the children. Bring the Word of God before them. I will say this to you for your encouragement. I was well acquainted with a sister whom we call Granny God. She lived in the G.N. Darby in her young days, though she was an old lady. I was a privileged person, the only younger person, first person in life to her 84th birthday. In the home of our daughter-in-law, Mrs. Alexander Matthews, and Mr. Matthews preached in the Lake Shore and in London, I walked over to Granny Goff. She wore an old-fashioned lace bonnet and a long ribbon right down the back, and she swept the sidewalk with her dress. You only saw the toes of her feet when she walked. Godly old lady used to hand me gospel papers and speak kindly to me when I was a boy. I walked over to her and I said, I suppose they're wishing you many happy returns of the day. She said, that's what they're wishing me. I said, is that what you would like? The tears rolled down the cheeks of Denzel. No, she said, that's not what I want. I am 84 years of age. I have 20 grandchildren. There's not one of them saved. She said, if you want to wish me well on my 84th birthday, you wish for me that I'll see some of my grandchildren saved before God takes me to heaven. How many did she see saved? Not one. Not one. I encouraged a brother the other day. He's been praying for his children, wondering why they're not saved. Because I'm laying hold upon the promise of God in Acts chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in thy house. We missed that out. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We missed the last out. And thy house. He says, that's God's promise. I said, brother, did you not know that God's promises are dated? No, he says, where do you read that? In Acts chapter 7, when the time of the promise drew near, then God didn't see one thing. But here's an encouragement for your parents and grandparents. If I may use this Granny Goff's body was scarcely cold in the grave, and God saved her grandson Ralph, my brother-in-law, Ralph Goff. And wonder of wonders, not in the gospel hall, nor at home. A little while later, Harry Goff was saved. We laid him away, laid his body away just a few months ago. A little later on, I wrote to her esteemed brother, Mr. Archie Stewart, and invited him to come to Forest Grove with me. The large number that professed to be saved, another grandson, the correspondent the assembly to me, and a granddaughter, and then a grandson. And then we've had the joy of pointing great grandsons to Christ. Only her grandsons, great grandsons, laboring for the Lord in Newfoundland. Don't get discouraged, my brother and sister, but there's a responsibility to you. Teach them diligently the word of God. The Cedar Cottage School is at the other end of the block from the old Cedar Cottage Gospel Hall. And the streetcar used to stop just a stone's throw from the Gospel Hall. I was waiting for the streetcar one day, and who should come along with Mrs. Becker, who was in the same class as I was in the Cedar Cottage School, and now a teacher. Said Lucy to me, she said, Hector, can you tell me why it is that the boys and girls in my class in Cedar Cottage School, the ones who are the best readers, and they belong to the folks that go to the gospel hall? I said, Lucy, no problem there. I said, some of them could read the word naked and Nebuchadnezzar before they ever went to school. How can the word of God? Turn, please, to 2 Samuel, chapter 6. 17 minutes yet. Then David returned to bless his household. When I saw that a few years ago and got up and preached it at a conference in Arlington for the first time, then David returned to bless his household. David had been doing his great work. He had been bringing back the ark that he'd been hearing about. And he prepared a tent for it. He brought it back in the proper way, not in a new cart, but on his own with the Kohathites that he'd been hearing. He'd been doing a great work for the Lord. He returned to bless his household. Brethren and sisters, fathers and mothers,
How can you and I bless our household? I was amazed in reading in a United States newspaper some time ago. What is the reason for juvenile delinquency? The editor said it's not juvenile delinquency, it is parental delinquency. First of all, the parents do not have the interest they ought to have in their children. Secondly, they do not provide a proper environment for them in the home. Thirdly, the parents are too self-indulgent and out they go for amusement and they leave the children to themselves. They will return to blessings of the home. My dear brother, my dear sister, how can you bless the household? First of all, by example. By example, you cannot feed your children. They will notice, they will see your inconsistency. The father and mother ought to be of one mind in front of the children. They ought to live in the child of God only in the home. You will bless your household by example. You will also bless an household by instruction. If I have time, I want to think a little about that in a moment or two. I believe that there ought to be instruction in every home, in every home. You can bless your household by devotion. You show your affection to your children. Not always the next thing that I want to speak about, and that is discipline. Dying of. I told you already I was an Aberdeen Scotland, and I don't want to entertain you, but an Aberdonian hangs on to all he can get his hands on. I have amongst my little treasures at home a thing that's about that long, and it's about that wide. And it's a quarter of an inch thick, and it's made of leather. And I look at it, and I shake my head, and I say, I used to think I got too much of you. Now I am convinced I didn't get enough of it. Don't be like that, dear woman. Did you ever see that tract? I'll not give you the whole story. And the servant of the Lord said to her, why do you not reprove that boy for that? He said, do you think that I would raise my hand against that darling that God has given me? Never, she said, never. Then what can you pay for? What is the end of the story? Maybe you've seen it. He was one of the few spectators. It saw her 21-year-old boy walking to the gallows. And as he walked past and he looked in at the window, I don't suppose you heard him, but he lifted up his finger and he said, you're to blame for this. You're to blame for this. Ah, brother and sister, I don't want to be harsh. Had the joy of seeing them all saved and gathered to the name of the Lord. But some of our grandchildren are breaking our hearts. And they're breaking our parents' hearts. I wonder, what's the difficulty? I will not take time to turn. I will try and quote to you from the book of Proverbs. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now, if I was giving a theological answer from that verse, I would concede to you that the true meaning might be whatever you see your son and daughter particularly fitted for, you bring them up along that line, and afterward they'll not depart from it. But I believe that in the light of the book of Proverbs, Solomon had something else in mind. For Solomon had said, spare the rod and your spoiled child, and don't give up for his crying. My beloved brother and sister, it's hard to use the cane and the strap. I often would rather have taken that rope from my father than some of the things he would say to me. Daddy, I'll never forget that. I would rather he brought the strap down on me and had it over with. But there was something hanging over my head that put fear into me. I knew there was something coming, and sometimes it's harder to take than the strap. Now, parents, this is your responsibility. Before I say any more, I'm passing over four scriptures I was going to read in the book of Proverbs, from page 2, the Epistle to the Ephesians, I hope I will find it, I think I will. I had no intention, my only scripture I looked up is I was saying the last thing, I looked up the scripture in Genesis. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, I'll come to this later on, responsibility of the child, and we are all here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, and if you don't say children, as well as say, what is it right? Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise, that we will always be. And thou mayest live long on the earth. Listen to this. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That includes Solomon's tool. A home when there's no discipline. How can you expect to see your children saved? Now it's hard. It's hard. Many times I'd rather use that strap on myself than on my children. It had to be done. I labored to the servant of the Lord. To raise the last son. One of his sons disobeyed his father in a very outstanding way. Calling him by name, he said, I told you what I would do. If you did that, I cannot go back in my word. What is the discipline? You're going to go up the ladder. You're going to go up through the hatchway. And you're going to lie down all night. Alone, no, not alone, you're going to lie down all night on the bare floor. Father carried out his word, and the boy went up. At 11 o'clock, the boy began to cry. By 12 o'clock, the boy was wailing, Daddy, Daddy, can I come down? The father went up, he said, you cannot come down. My word is going to be carried out. Your will has to be broken. I must carry out my word. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll come up and lie down beside you. And he won that boy, and that boy got saved. Don't give in. Do what you can. No, I'm not going to. Although I'm a grandfather of 22 and a great-grandfather of 2, I am not going to say from this platform for being well recorded, and I'm careful what I say. I do not know what to say to you. And children grow up 19 or 20 years of age, not saved, and rebellious. And they throw down the gauntlet. You're going to allow me to do this, to allow me to bring this in, or I'll leave this house. I don't know what to say. Parents, hang on to your children as you can. Amram and Jochebed kept Moses as long as
possibly could.
No longer, Susan. He committed the little child to the Nile. He went into the world. But they went out after him, and all was well. And last of all,